Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. So how have you been?
I've been battling a cold since Tuesday. So if you and or the viewers hear a little bit of difference, a little bit more nasally in my voice, that is 100% my cold. Yesterday, the day before yesterday was absolute hell. And then Wednesday was absolute hell.
Sounds rough.
But yeah, it was absolutely rough. And you could feel it. Like on Wednesday, it was like throat pain and me just feeling like dog water. And then it got better on Wednesday. It got better on Thursday. And I was like, nice, it's like going away. And then Friday hits, dude. Holy moly. It was like a bomb struck. First, it was like my nose and my eyes just started watering nonstop, both of them at the same time. It was awful. I couldn't, like, on Thursday, I went to bed at like 8 because I was sick of being awake.
Damn.
Because all I was doing is like leaking from my eyes and nose. And then on Friday, it decided to move up. And then on Friday, it was my ears and nose. It was awful. And I'm still kind of dealing with my ears. Like I can feel like they're, I don't know, muffled. But at least my nose stopped leaking as much today. Dude, I had to clog my nostrils with toilet paper and like change out, you know, basically tampons in my fucking nose because it was so fucking bad, dude. It was like a water stream. I would take them out and they'd start dripping. It was awful. Terrible.
But, bro, that sounds absolutely crazy.
Yeah, dude. Oh, and I don't know if I told you or even showed you last weekend on Sunday, I crashed my new plane.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. And it wasn't even my fault, quite honestly. My buddy, who is 6'9", me and him were out flying. And he asked me to like help him find like this FAA registration for the federal aviation stuff in the air, basically. So we have like a number that comes back to us. And I was up in the air with my new glider. He was like, yo, can you help me out with this? I was like, sure. And I was about to like land and just pack up and go. And so I was about maybe 400 or 500, 600 feet in the air, and I just went straight nosedive, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew what I was doing. I was fully confident in my abilities, and I went full nosedive. And then he walked. I was like sitting in my chair, and he walked in front of me while I was going like maybe 100 miles per hour straight down. And I asked him like, yo, you gotta move out of the way. And he like didn't know whether to move to the front or the back. And I was like, move out of the way. So he stepped back. And then like, I saw it maybe 20, 30 feet above the ground, literally like full speed toward the ground. And I pulled up as much as I could, but dude, it was just like straight nose in the ground. It was terrible.
Damn.
Oh, it hurt so bad. So like my fuselage, which is like the middle part of the plane, the body of the plane,
yeah,
broke in three places. The front was just like completely destroyed. Then the middle that like has the wings on it was another section. And then the rear was like another section. And it was just like just shattered all over the ground.
Bro, you gotta go. Crazy. I'm going to have to go find that guy again who was offering to sell you some old stuff.
Right. No, I already went and I bought a new fuselage. So I already have a new fuselage here. I already have everything like switched out to the new fuselage, except for the tailplane. There's this thing called a horizontal stabilizer.
Yeah.
That is different on this new fuselage. So I'm just waiting on that and I'll put everything together and then have a new maiden flight of this new plane, quote unquote new.
Nice.
Yeah. But besides me, how are you, dude? How was your week? What have you been up to?
My week's been pretty good. Elaine and I went and got some bikes. Some mountain bikes. What? Because as you know, there are just like endless trails around where we live. Like we literally, there's maybe like a 5 minute walk down our street is I can get on a bike trail.
Right.
So we were like, It was when obviously we like, because we moved here in the middle of COVID, there was like supply chain like issues and stuff like that. And so like when we first got here, there was like not any bikes available. So we, rather than like just getting a cheapo bike, we were like, oh, we'll just like wait it out a bit, wait until like more quality bikes are back in stock, and then we can start looking. So we got some bikes the other day, and then just yesterday afternoon we went on our first ride with them.
Oh, nice. How was it? How was it?
Oh my gosh, it was,
how'd it feel?
It was amazing, because her parents have bikes as well, but they're, first of all, they're like street bikes, not mountain bikes. Like her dad's bike, that which is the one that I usually use, has like the width of his wheels is like maybe half an inch. Like they're so thin, and which is like, that's good. That's good if you're like trying to be on a level surface, but when you need, when you need grip, it doesn't have any.
right.
Yeah. So we got some bikes. We got some helmets. I got biking gloves. I've crashed before, and hand protection is like, your hands are the first thing that's going to hit the ground most of the time. So
that's true. Always got to protect all parts. Well, that's awesome, man. You and Elena both, right?
Yep.
That's sweet.
We have a bike shop in town called Fat Tire with a PH.
Yeah. That's awesome. Next time you guys do a road trip down to Colorado, bring them. For show. Oh, wait. You guys need to get a bike rack now too, right?
Yeah, we're looking at getting some to just like, we're going to maybe, I think, put them on our porch. Originally, we were thinking about trying to like store them in one of our sheds, but both of our sheds are just full of stuff. And it's just...
Oh, I meant bike rack as in like on your car.
Oh, for our cars. I don't really know. I think, I know they have those ones that you can strap around your trunk. But from what
it scratches your bike though.
Yeah, from what I've read online, it's not good for your bike or your car. Yeah. Like it'll scratch up your car paint too.
Yeah, it'll mess up everything. Highly don't recommend that.
But neither of our cars have hitches, so we can't get a hitch rack. And so the only other thing would, like, we would either have to get a hitch installed on one of our cars or somehow get like top storage racks installed, because neither of us have those either.
Yeah. Those are the more expensive route, but, you know.
We'll have to figure out car storage later.
I got you. One thing at a time. It's all expensive, so it is what it is. Yeah, man. But besides our awesome new toys and my broken toys, what are we reviewing today?
So we're going to be taking some time to do sort of like a catch-up series on the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Because then there's not really a whole lot of movies coming out right now. So we got some free time, and I figured this would be a good opportunity for us to get ourselves to a point where we can start talking about new Marvel movies as they come out.
Okay.
So obviously that there's, I want to say like 28, somewhere around there. There's like a little less than 30 Marvel movies right now, and that, I mean, there's only 52 weeks in a year, so it would take
actually less than 30.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you think it was more?
Yeah,
I mean, there's like shows and stuff, but I'm just talking about like feature films.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I've created a list that I think we can go through that would be like an essentials list.
Yeah,
of just the
must sees.
Yeah. Okay. And I figure for the movies that we're going to be skipping, like we can just briefly talk about the implications, inclusions, new characters and that sort of stuff that are introduced in those movies.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. I'm in.
Yeah. So the first movie, which was released in 2008, is Iron Man, which was directed by Jon Favreau and stars Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, Terrence Howard, and Jeff Bridges.
Oh, yeah. Wait, was this actually the first one?
It was the first movie that was released, but there are other movies that in-universe take place before this movie. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, look, I don't think we need to even talk about like spoiler section, right? Because if you haven't seen it in this amount of time, it's your own fucking fault.
Yeah, I mean, like for those, if you're interested in the Marvel series, chances are you've seen this movie. And yeah. I mean, if you're not interested, you're probably not going to be listening to these episodes anyway. So.
True. Very true. Yeah.
So, on the off chance someone listens and you're like, you know what? I never really got into Marvel, but I want to. This is a perfect series for you. Go and watch Iron Man and then come back and listen to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So this movie had a budget of $140 million.
Wow.
And its gross worldwide was about $586 million.
Okay.
So
that's good.
They made some serious money.
Yeah. Some big racks. Racks on racks on racks.
Yeah. So what did you think about Iron Man?
This was like the second or third time I've watched it. And quite honestly, it was good. I enjoyed it. I've always enjoyed the Iron Man. I don't know if I've watched any of the other ones, but I know this one I've watched.
Do you remember the first time you saw it?
I don't know. Probably when it came out around that area. My buddies and I went to go watch it, probably in theaters, low-key.
I definitely did not see it in theaters when it came out. I remember the first time I saw it was a TV that's probably like the size of my computer monitor in my living room.
Hell yeah.
Because 2008 was what I would have been 12 at the time.
Shit, yeah.
So that's like seventh grade. Yeah, so I was in middle school when this came out.
Okay, maybe I didn't go see it in theaters then. Never mind. But yeah, the big brick TVs, right?
It wasn't, it was still a flat screen, but it was a small flat screen.
Well, you were fancy. Shit, we had our big old fucking massive thing till like, I want to say like 2011, 12.
I remember my very first TV that I remember us having was actually like it had its own stand, like the TV was like on wheels.
Whoa.
And there was three knobs on it. One of them was to change the channel, one of them was to change the volume, and the other one you could switch it between color and black and white.
Wait, really?
Yeah,
that's actually kind of sick.
Yeah,
I've never had one of those. No.
Well, I mean, I don't have it anymore. It would have been a cool antique, but...
Yeah. Wow, that's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Let's step into the boxing ring.
Okay, this is unfair because I'm bad with names. Oh, what's his name again?
The main character?
Yeah.
Tony Stark.
Stony Stark. Okay. I'll go first. Now that I know his name.
Okay.
Tony Stark. Big man. With a gun company. Who sells worldwide, finds out through some explosions that his weaponry is getting into the wrong hands of criminals. He was kidnapped, and through this kidnapping, he built a robot to escape. And with that knowledge came the next era of warfare with surprises that he was not ready for.
Okay. All right, I think I'm gonna go simple on this one. I'm gonna say, after being captured by a group of terrorists, weapons manufacturer Tony Stark rethinks his legacy.
That was good. Rethinking legacy, that was a good one.
All right, let's see what we got here. After being held captive in an Afghan cave, billionaire engineer Tony Stark creates a unique weaponized suit of armor to fight evil.
Nice. I think I win because I said Tony Stark and then I talked about his suit.
That's true. I did not mention the suit.
Yeah.
I think you got this
one. All right. Alrighty. I'll take it. I'll take the dubs. I need some after this cold.
Shit. All right. So let us take a brief, just a touch of an ad break, and then we'll be right back.
A weenie ad break. Let's do it.
The ad's not for weenies, but, you know. If you want some, you can go get some weenies.
Oh, yes. And we're back, and I got my weenies.
What kind of weenies did you get?
Just kidding. I didn't get any, but I do have some big old weenies in my, three of them, to be exact, in my, they're German Knäckewurst.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, you put them in like a warm water pot, and you boil them, and then they get all like, oh my God, I can't wait. But I didn't want to make them because I've been sick, you know? Just doesn't feel right.
Why are sausages called wieners? You ever think about that?
Because they look like them.
Well, I was, but like, is, like, what was a wiener? Like, is a sausage a wiener first, and then people started calling penises wieners? Or was a penis a wiener, and then sausages became wieners?
Dude, that is a good question. I'm not sure. I want to say that wiener is like a slang for something that's long and meaty.
Huh.
And then, like, anything that's long and meaty, you can call a wiener, like a wiener dog, right?
That's true. Oh, hold on. I got something here. Oh, bro, you should know this. It says it's from German.
Well, I didn't. The origin is European German?
Yeah.
Vienna? I mean,
it says, okay. It says it means of Vienna because.
Vienne.
Right, because Vienne is Vienna. So, yeah, but
how did wiener come from that? What?
Well, because English pronounces a W differently than German.
Okay, well, how did a place all of a sudden become a sausage? I mean, the correlation there.
Because Vienna, like Vienna sausages are like a worldwide popular thing. Vienna sausages.
Oh, Vienna sausages.
And so.
Oh.
And so then people just started calling them wieners.
Okay, well, that doesn't explain a wiener dog, though.
Well, because it looks like a sausage, I guess. I would assume the same thing for a penis. It started with Vienna sausages, and then anything that looked like a sausage also became a wiener.
Oh, okay. Oh man, they're honking out there again. There's an ambulance.
You always got an ambulance.
Anyway, bro, I do always got ambulances. Last night, some guy was like, "Dude, what is going on?" I'm like, "No worries, dude. I live in Compton. It's normal here, dude." Anyway. Do you want to start with some like notes on the movie?
I mean, yeah, that's what we're here for.
Some thoughts.
I'll
start off, dude.
Go for it.
The first thing that like just like made my brain explode a bit was MySpace. Dude.
I think I made a MySpace like at the same time everyone else was deleting their MySpace. Like I don't even feel like legit enough to say that I had a MySpace because I didn't really, but I did at one point make an account, and then that was it.
I definitely had a MySpace for sure. But I don't, did they delete MySpace?
I'm sure it's still around. I think it's just one of those things where like no one uses it, you know?
Oh, it's still there. It's still there.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to become Facebook not too long from now. I feel like, I mean, people still use Facebook, but like, it's not, Facebook is what you use to like keep up with your family. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 I think I deleted everything, but anyway, I thought that was funny because Tony Stark was like, "Don't post it on MySpace or anything," like as if it's like the new in thing. And I was like, "Oh, that dated this movie so much. Holy." But yeah, that was like one thing I wrote down. I was like, I wonder like if kids watching Iron Man now are like, what the heck is MySpace? You know, like, what's that?
Well, another thing that is going to now date this movie is Tony Stark's origin story takes place in Afghanistan. And it wasn't always like that. Obviously, Iron Man has existed in the comic books before the Afghanistan war started. And
oh, really?
So, yeah. Before Afghanistan, it was the Gulf War. And then before the Gulf War, it was in Vietnam.
Gotcha. Okay.
But obviously, like, if if they wanted this to be like a modern superhero and then he like started in the Vietnam War, that like, you know,
yeah,
it doesn't really hurt the story. I don't think there's anything, there's nothing really about Iron Man that is tied to a specific location. It's just like he got captured during a war and like, you know, pretty basic stuff. So I don't personally see any problem with making it the Afghanistan War, but also now that, you know, 2022, the American troops all got pulled out of Afghanistan. So, you know, like 5-10 years from now, someone watching this movie, this is going to be a period piece.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be like, oh my God, I read about this in my history class.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That definitely will date the movie. Another, like, that entering sequence where they were, I mean, they started off with that, you know, in the SUVs, the military trucks.
Yep. Humvees.
And then the Humvees, yeah. And then they started getting shot at, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not a military guy and I'm not a military expert by any means. Why, when they got shot at, did they stop the car and then everyone just got out of it, including Tony Stark? Like, isn't it more safer inside the vehicle than out of the vehicle? Or then you become like a target, so you want to go out, like away from the vehicle?
I wasn't really sure what, because I think the first truck blew up. I guess it could have been like some sort of small missile or something, but to me it looked like the first truck ran over a mine. Right. So it makes sense to stop the vehicles because you don't know whether there's more mines or not.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want to like put that shit in reverse and gun it?
I mean,
there's like,
I guess,
no way, like in a military zone, they're just gonna like stand there, right?
Well, I'm
like, wait.
Well, they weren't really waiting. They got out and they were like, I guess, gonna try and fight back. They just didn't do a very good job of it.
Yeah.
Which I will say, because we've talked about this in previous episodes, I think this movie does not fall for the fetishizing the military. I feel like there are some sequences that pretty heavily feature the military, but it's never like, oh my gosh, the soldiers are everyone's heroes. Because the entire point of Iron Man is that he's like, he's doing the military's job for them because they're not doing good enough, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I also, like, I don't know proper military protocol, so I don't know what, like, in that situation, if a caravan got attacked, I don't know what their standard of operation would be. But
right, yeah, because I doubt there was like, I don't know, I don't know, I have no idea. But that was just kind of weird to me, because like the guy got out, he was like, don't get out, Tony Stark. He's like standing outside the vehicle while they're being shot at. He like turns around and tells him that, and then he gets shot. Like,
yeah.
And when he gets shot, I don't know if you noticed, the car got like a shit ton of holes all over it.
Yes.
And I was thinking, like, how did Tony Stark not get hit by any of that?
Maybe it was like just the perfect amount of resistance where the shrapnel went through the metal, but then lost enough momentum that it couldn't.
Just fell.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe shit, but I thought that was kind of weird. Do you have any pointers or thoughts about that beginning sequence?
I thought it definitely, it very quickly gave a very good illustration of the kind of person that Tony Stark is.
Oh, true. Very quick, like, and very good character development. Yeah.
Yeah. You see that he's like, he always feels like he's on top of the world and like is treated like a celebrity, and he thinks that he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And then like, even in, there's like right after that sequence, there's like a flashback and he gets interviewed by a reporter who is like trying to be hard on him and is like, oh, you're the merchant of death, and how do you feel about all of the lives that have been lost as a result of your weapons? And he's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And he like talks about all of the like medical breakthroughs that have like started as military projects and then became civilian.
Yeah. Very good character development at the front. And then quite honestly, like when he got out of the cave, which is where he was kidnapped from that Humvee, brought to the cave. And then he, like, when he came back out, you could tell like there was like a difference in him. And I think that's only because of the quote unquote roommate that he had, his helper.
Oh, you're talking about Jensen.
Yeah. Because like one of the things that I wrote down was when he said that his family is dead and he's going to go see them now, which was like his deal that he had with Jensen. Like both of them like escaped together.
Right.
And Jensen was like, yeah, I'm going to go see my family. And he was like, this was always the plan. Like I'm going to go see him now because they're all dead. I was
right.
Like, fuck. And then he said something to Tony. He was like, do better kind of thing. Right. Yeah,
he said, don't waste your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was another thing that I really liked was especially because I mean, a lot of this credit goes to the performance of Robert Downey Jr., but because he was able to portray such a big asshole, there's such a big difference between Tony Stark at the beginning of the movie and Tony Stark at the yeah. end. And I feel like another great thing about his performance is he really sells it. Like I was completely convinced of this man who was naive and was like a weapons manufacturer for quote unquote the right reasons because he thinks he's protecting right. people and then realizes that weapons can just be used by anyone and like just saying that they're going to the right people doesn't always mean that they actually are. And so this sort of like emotional journey for him of realizing that it's almost like he realizes that the only people that he can really trust is like himself, you know?
Yeah.
And so yeah. he's like, I, instead of making weapons for other people, I'm going to be the weapon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Yeah, that's a good observation. Yeah. And when he did become the weapon, dude, that I think that sequence scene was super cool when he like broke out and like just started like ramming them against the walls, like just heading him out of the way and like taking all the bullets. And like even the part where like it shows like he's such a genius and he built this thing and he like tricked the terrorists to thinking that he was going to be building them their missile.
Yep.
And even after all that, like he took flight and like he flew for maybe like a mile and then it fucked up, you know, because like he wasn't yeah. working in the cave.
Right.
I thought that was like a very good touch of the movie company to not like portray him as like too perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Because at one point it's like too much kind of thing, but.
And you see there, yeah, there are like, there are several things that he has to learn along the way. And that becomes like a real sort of an important moment even during the final fight where like one of the things that we saw that he had to learn from experience was he got cocky during his first flight and he was like, let's see how high I can go. And then his suit
went higher than SR-71 or some shit.
And then his suit iced up because obviously it's super cold that high up in the atmosphere.
Right.
And so then he had to engineer a way to stop his suit from building ice on it.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess we can jump to the end scene where like they were fighting each other and he was like, how did you figure out the ice issue? And then the guy was like, what ice issue?
Yeah.
I was like, nice. Let's go, Tony.
What did you think about Tony Stark's house?
Dude, unreal. The first time we get the glimpse is when he had that reporter over and he was like, yeah, let me show you what I do like at night or whatever. And then like she woke up and like the window opened and the camera like zoomed out and then you saw the house. Bro, unreal. That was
a cliff spot on in Malibu.
Yeah. That was like spot on what I would think Tony Stark would be living in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just
funny that you chose the word unreal because it actually is not a real location.
Yeah. Yeah. and I knew that. And I knew that. But like in the movie, it's like kind of nutty, you know, especially for like, like even nowadays, like something like that is like super expensive.
Yeah.
And the thing was full concrete. I don't even know if that would be structurally possible.
I read something somewhere where like some like real estate company was like trying to from all of the footage from all of the different movies, trying to get an estimate for what his mansion would actually be worth. And
oh my God.
And it was like $117 million.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, quite honestly, though, for $117 million, that's not too bad.
I guess.
Like, all the millionaires' houses out there, dude. Like, $117 million, easy money for them. I mean, just think of Elon Musk, dude. He just, like, what, bought $3 billion in stocks of fucking Twitter?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that, the money to them is just no, I don't know.
I mean, it's true. It's like, it's a price that someone like Tony Stark would pay. But
oh, yeah, for sure.
It's still, it's a crazy house. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Like when he was testing out his suit, well, he was actually coming back and like those two fighter jets were chasing him. I'm like jumping all over the place, but if you know the movie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And like one of them like shot him and he like fell back and he broke one of the jets. And then he got on the phone with his buddy who's like head of the military or whatever. I'm not quite sure what his title is. And he was like, well, you owe us a new jet. He was like, fine, I'll just like give you one. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just give you one. No big deal. A few million dollars.
Did you have any negatives for this movie?
I mean, not like really big negatives. I wrote here that the first time he was trying out the suit, and like you said, he came down with the ice issue.
Yeah.
He was trying to do a landing on the roof of his house and he literally fell through all the levels of his house, straight down onto his, I think it was a Cobra, his car, and just like landed there. And I was like, that is not possible. And then he uses that exact hole later on in the movie as like an escape route or like his exit. And that was kind of a silly cringe moment for me where I was like, nobody for months is going to like, imagine how much time passed by. He's not just going to leave a hole through his whole house, right? Like, I doubt that.
I mean,
but then again,
he could definitely pay to get it fixed, but it would still take time for like the contractors and stuff to come out and all that.
That's fair, but you'd at least like temporarily close the fucking top.
Unless he knew water. He was going to use it to fly out.
That's true, but.
And it's not like,
I was like
if everything's concrete, I like, obviously Tony Stark is not worried about water damage.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. He left the Cobra like car there, like destroyed the whole movie.
Yeah.
Didn't bother removing. He's like, whatever. I have two more negatives, but like, do we want to go through all my negatives first?
We don't have to go through all of them.
Well, I mean, they're in the same place kind of basically.
All right.
They're at the very endish of the movie.
Okay.
Where Tony Stark's quote unquote partner had like that evil giant robot, right?
Yep.
And well, before Tony arrived, he crawled out of the ground.
Yes.
To me, that was like, okay, bro, that's fucking annoying. Like, no shot. I did not like that scene at all.
All right.
No, not a fan. Not a fan of that. And then when they were fighting, Tony, like, his mask was basically like, he was like hanging on like that spherical opening in the ground, in the roof of that building. And like the reactor overloaded and blew up and he was like hanging on the edge. And it literally exploded, giant explosion. And then the next thing you see is like Tony Stark's suit singed and like his head and hair is like still perfect. And I was like, all right.
Maybe he was in just the perfect spot where the flames didn't get to him.
Yeah, but they got to his suit like everywhere on the suit. His suit was black after that, you know?
I don't know, man.
Those are my negatives. I said Tony's face and all hair would be gone in capital letters. That was me during the movie. But do you have any negatives?
I have one pretty decent negative, I think. I think that Obadiah, his business partner, I think as a character, he should have been two different people. I feel like
really
there should be one person who is like the corrupt business partner who's like, oh yeah, like I'm making as much money off I can off these weapons and I don't really care. Like if I sell to the good guys and the bad guys, then I make more money. So who cares if people get hurt, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah. And then there should be like another character who's like the extremist who is like, oh, I'm going to use all of Stark's technology and then like it, even if it was like one of the terrorists, and be like, oh, I'm gonna take over Afghanistan with all of his tech, kind of thing. Because it feels to me sort of like, and this becomes a little bit more of a problem in future Marvel movies, and we may talk about it on some of those as well. But I don't want to like retroactively judge something based off of what happens in the future. But I, like, even from a standalone point, without thinking about the other movies, I feel like this is still a problem where like you have a bad guy and he's doing bad stuff throughout the movie, but then in order so that the audience doesn't feel bad when he dies, then you have to like make him be super evil instead of just like a normal bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it almost feels like if the only bad thing that he did was selling weapons to the terrorists, then it'd be like, oh, well, that's like, he's just a greedy rich person, like, put him in jail, don't murder him. But now it almost seems like, well, we're going to have him, he's going to go to Afghanistan and steal the stuff from those people. And then he has like a squad with him who just like shoots all of them. And then he goes back and like threatens to kill Pepper. I feel like he's a 3 out of 10 bad guy in the beginning. And then like 2/3 of the way through the movie, they're like, no, now he's straight up evil.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it might've been a little better if there was like a business bad guy and a murder people bad guy.
You know, that's true. I never thought about that. I can definitely see it though. If it would have been split in two, like there, cause for me watching it, there was like a lot of, like you said, like tension in that one character thinking like, does he like not care for Tony Stark? Does he care for Tony Stark? Does he only care about Tony Stark's like technology?
Yeah. And
does he only care about selling it?
I feel like that's where, it almost lost me a little bit. Cause it's like, I understand that like, oh, he's jealous because like they even talk about it in the opening sequence. Like, Tony Stark was still a teenager when his dad died. And yeah. And so Obadiah Stane had control of the company for a few years, and then Tony Stark like took it back over. And so I could understand the idea if he's like, oh, like this company could have been something great and then you ruined it and now it's time for me to take it back over and something like that. But I feel like he would have been a more interesting character if he was like, no, I'm genuinely trying to do what's best for the company. And I think if I was in charge, we would all do better and we could all have more money. And like, there's a difference between I want to take over the company from you and I want to kill you.
Right. That's a really good point. That's a really good negative. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that was probably my biggest problem with the movie. I feel like the rest of it was handled very well.
Yeah, I mean, his character was just a cringe lore already in general. So
Jeff Bridges did a great job, though, as like...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But he was a cringe guy, like cringe, like character. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great job playing a cringe guy, for sure. You did really like you said at the beginning, like the character development of Tony Stark, I feel like throughout the movie, it was so strong. Like when he came back from being held captive and made a slave, basically.
Yeah.
And he gave that press conference and he was like, I want a cheeseburger. And then we go to a press conference that he wanted. And he just like asked everyone just like sit down. Cause like, that's just how he is. Like that is just so strong, and all these scenes just really like had me connect with Tony Stark's, because he wasn't like a douchebag rich guy, right? Like even at the beginning, I feel like where they were trying to make him look like a douchebag rich guy, it really wasn't working, because he was like, yeah, like take a picture of me, you know, just like don't post it anywhere, please.
Like not I think that's the balance though, is that he like, he is a douchebag, but he's like a very charming douchebag.
Yeah. He's very charming is a great word for that, I think. Yeah.
Or like the whole idea of like, he's like sleeps with the reporter and then just like completely ghosts her and has Pepper kick her out in the morning.
Yeah. And ask Pepper how to go. She was like, smooth as butter. or something. I don't remember exactly what she said, but
yeah.
Oh yeah, all these war scenes that we were watching, to bring it back to like current times. Because you were saying, like, you know, this is placed in a time era, like what, 10, 15 years ago, like what's happening right now in Ukraine. I could see some of these scenes, like even what we're reading in the news currently is like almost strikingly similar to what we were watching in the movie. That's how I would like describe it. All like the destruction, the killings, the slaughtering of, you know, innocent people.
Yeah. I mean, obviously women, this is
women and kids could live.
This movie is PG-13. So there was like,
yeah. I mean, even like the war scenes, they kind of made funny, I feel like, because like when Tony Stark's went in there and he like the missile, the tank shot at him, you could like watch it. It was like huge and it like flew by him and it was like, you know, all yeah. that stuff. And then Tony Stark was like, you know, like a little, like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Little tiny thing. Just like, ding, and make that sound too. And it like struck the tank and then just like blew up the whole tank immediately.
Yeah, there was definitely an element, I think, of purposeful comedy to the action sequences.
Yeah.
Like there's another scene in Afghanistan where he like one of the guys is like hiding behind a wall and trying to call someone and he shoves his fist through the wall and pulls him out. And like, obviously that's not realistic. If you tried to pull someone through a wall, you'd probably just break their shoulder off.
And like kill him in the process.
Or like there's the scene even at the end when he's fighting Ironmonger. There's like a SUV with a family inside and he like picks it up and then the mom freaks out and like slams her foot on the gas. And when he puts it back down, he gets run over.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, oh no.
So yeah, it's definitely, they don't take the action too seriously, which is like,
right.
Depending on what kind of movie you're going in for, I guess could be a negative, but it's fun. That's true. A comic book movie, so I'm not worried about it.
Right. If this I feel was like very relaxing, although it was showing serious, real like things, you know?
Yeah. Because it's not trying to be like a serious, like a war movie. If this was like an Afghanistan documentary and they were doing stuff like that, then I'd be like, okay, that's a problem. But like,
right. Big issue.
Yeah. But this movie is not meant to be like that. So.
Right. Right. Right.
What did you think about Agent Phil Coulson?
Quite honestly, like I liked him. He reminded me of like the Men in Black kind of thing. And I actually did watch all the episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I loved it. I loved all of them. They were super like engaging and fun to watch.
I actually never watched that show.
Oh, I highly recommend. Dude, it's a lot of fun. And it like builds, the character development there too is like really good. And yeah, I just recommend that one. But yeah, like I recognized him and to me, he just like felt like an agent in black. And then of course, at the end, it was like the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up. And yeah. I was like, oh shit, like this is where it starts. That was like the extra scene. Yeah.
And I think, super sick. From what I remember, I'm pretty sure, obviously, like I said, I didn't see it in theaters, but I think I was reading something one time. They were saying that after credit scene with Nick Fury actually wasn't in the theatrical cut.
Really?
Because they like when they put Iron Man out, they weren't trying to set up a cinematic universe. This wasn't like, oh yeah, we're going to start the MCU right now. It was just like, no, we just want to make a good Iron Man movie. And so the after credit scene got put in later.
I didn't know that. Like how much later? Like
it, well, the DVD it was,
came out?
I think it was filmed at the same time, but it like they, I think like they cut it out of the movie for it to go to theaters. And then like every version after that, like DVD and streaming and all of that, like all of those versions had it in there.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Very cool. I feel like they should have done that for the theater. No, that's usually like what people wait for.
Well, now it is. Like the thing. Back in 2008, after credit scenes were not that popular.
Oh, really? I don't know that. Yeah. So I thought he did a great job. I don't know. He was in there very shortly, but he made you like just you could tell that he was trying to be very polite.
Yeah.
But that he was also very serious.
And just like
and not someone you wanted to mess with.
Yeah. I think he gave a very real sense that other things are happening in this world. Like even if you take out the after credit scene, like him talking about S.H.I.E.L.D. and like, oh, we need to have a meeting with Tony Stark. There are things we need to talk about. And then like it never gets around to that meeting.
right.
But it's like it's one of those things where like, especially for someone who is a little more familiar with the comic history of Iron Man, you're like, oh, like I understand what's going on here. It's not important to the plot of the movie, but it's just there as like to let you know that the story that we're watching right now is not the only thing, is not the only important thing happening.
It's bigger than you think it is.
Right.
100%. Yeah. There is only one more thing that I thought was like kind of funny. And it was a quote that I have written down. So after that, it's all you. I'll take over the show. But it was when, what's the evil guy's name again?
Obadiah.
Obadiah.
Yeah.
It was when Obadiah commanded the scientists to like make a smaller version of the reactor. And he was like, well, Tony Stark did this in a cave. And then this is the quote. And all he said was, well, I'm sorry, I'm not Tony Stark. And then like it was like a cutscene and went somewhere else. I was like, fucking rolled. True. I thought that was great. Like, again, like in a serious moment, comedy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. And that has definitely become, for better or worse, a staple of Marvel movies. I know a lot of people complain about that now. And I feel like this movie really set the tone for the entire Marvel universe. And I think they're trying to really move away from that now and sort of explore different feelings and like tonal shift in movies and shows. But for a very long time, like every Marvel movie was like, we're gonna do a bunch of serious stuff and have this dramatic scene, but then it gets cut off with a joke because we don't want to get too serious.
Yeah. Don't want to off-put the whole audience and the vibes.
Yeah. And so like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think that was one of the times when it worked.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. All right, well, it's your turn. If you have any other notes that we'd like to talk about, I'm all ears.
I would like to know your feelings on the romance between Tony Stark and Pepper Potts.
Oh, because obviously
it starts off as this like, he's my boss, and then there's like the weird dance and she like tries to kiss him and he like definitely does not return the kiss.
He's like stiff as a board. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah. And so then it's like kind of awkward for a while. And like it's not like they get together at the end of the movie. Right. They're still joking about it. Yeah. And they're like right before the final press conference, he says, oh, well, if I was a superhero, then I'd have a girlfriend who's always worried about me. But like, I guess maybe they are supposed, like you're supposed to take it that they're dating during that scene, but I don't know.
I definitely did not take it as if they're dating, but I feel like that was, again, one of his sly jokes that he has. Yeah,
it was just like kind of him just like being flirty.
Yeah. And also at the end, he was like, remember that one time? And she was like, what time? He was like, you know, that one time.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, you mean the one time where we danced, I danced with my boss, and then we went on the top and we almost kissed, and then I asked you to go get me a drink and you never came back. You left me up there. Remember that time?
Yeah.
That time, you mean? And he was like, yeah.
You got me there.
Yeah. He's like, damn. Yeah. Never mind.
That's pretty much all I got.
Same.
It's pretty solid movie.
Yeah. It's like enjoyable to watch, even being 2 hours long, right?
Yeah.
It was enjoyable. Like nowhere in there was I confused. Like fucking the Green Knight. Ugh. like even years later, like it's still fun to watch, you know, like it didn't date itself that much, I would say.
Yeah.
Because the technology still isn't around, you know?
That's true. Although there is a, I think in 2014, a group of engineers at MIT, which is supposed to be, Tony Stark graduated from MIT, a group of engineers at MIT in 2014 started trying to develop an actual arc reactor.
Oh, shit. And how'd that go? Do you know?
As far as I know, it's still a work in progress.
Gotcha. Research. Yeah. They're not Tony Stark.
Yeah. Stuff like that takes time.
Yeah. Very cool. Do we have any trivia? I mean, I guess we just gave was trivia.
Low-key. Yeah. Well, it's true, but we do have more trivia.
Let's go.
So this one here is the director, Jon Favreau, wanted Robert Downey Jr. because he felt that the actor's past was right for the part. He commented, "The best and worst moments of Robert's life have been in the public eye. He had to find an inner balance to overcome obstacles that went far beyond his career. That is Tony Stark. Robert brings a depth that goes far beyond a comic book character having trouble in high school or someone who can't get the girl."
Wow. Yeah, that's true, because he was an alcoholic, right? And he went to jail for something, no?
Yeah, it wasn't even just alcohol. I've got from 1996 to 2001, Downey was arrested numerous times on charges related to multiple drugs, including marijuana, cocaine, and heroin. He went through several drug treatment programs unsuccessfully, and in 1999, he explained to a judge, "It's like I have a shotgun in my mouth and I've got my finger on the trigger and I like the taste of the gunmetal."
Oh, God.
He said that he had been addicted to drugs since he was 8 years old due to the fact that his father, who was also an addict, had been giving them to him.
What? Oh, shit. I didn't know that. That's next level of awful parenting.
He had 5 years where he was like really not doing well. And then between 2001 and 2007, he started getting back into things. He was in the movie Zodiac, which is about the Zodiac Killer. He was in a movie called Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is also a great movie. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. Good movie. He was in several things, but then obviously in 2008, when he became Iron Man, like his career just like launched into the fucking stratosphere.
Yeah, he had a big jump after that.
Yeah.
Good for him.
All right. So our next bit of trivia here is the "I am Iron Man" line was actually ad-libbed by Robert Downey Jr. and producer Kevin Feige approved using it in the final cut of the film. And he credits this with his decision to largely do away with secret identities in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Ah, nice.
So in most comic book stories, people have like their civilian identity and then their superhero identity. They're like a sort of like Superman, Clark Kent sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And like the same was true for a lot of Marvel superheroes, but then because of this movie and Robert Downey Jr.'s decision to say that, there's really not any. I think Spider-Man is probably the only person in the MCU with a secret identity. Everyone else, like, people just know who they are.
Why does Spider-Man have a secret identity?
I mean, for the same reason that any other comic book character has a secret identity, because you don't want the supervillains and bad guys that you're fighting to know who your loved ones are.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. Tony Stark doesn't have any of that except for
Pepper.
By the way, Pepper is just gorgeous. Holy moly.
All right. Our next fact here. In an interview with Britain's Empire magazine, Robert Downey Jr. thanked Burger King for helping him get straight-edged in 2003 with a car full of drugs. He said he had a burger that was so disgusting, it made him rethink his life, and he dumped all of the drugs in the ocean.
Wait, what?
And then it says
he
repeats this with an impromptu sit down session with the press upon his return from captivity in the movie. Like you said, when he says, "I need a press conference and a burger," you see later he got Burger King.
Yeah. Wait, what?
And apparently that was a real life situation for him. His Burger King changed his life.
Very interesting. I can't relate. I've never had Burger King, I don't think so.
You've never had Burger King?
Nope.
That's wild.
Sounds like a terrible place to go have a burger.
They actually have pretty good burgers.
Not according to Tony Stark. Made him change drugs.
Just one burger. That doesn't mean every burger is that disgusting.
Imagine how bad the burger has to be for you to quit drugs and change your life.
Listen, maybe the burger chef that day was also on drugs.
Maybe. Yeah, that low key.
Anyway. During the final battle, there was originally going to be a sequence where Tony, in the Iron Man suit, was going to drive an Audi R8 that would crash into Ironmonger's legs and then flip over, after which Iron Man would split the car in half and jump out. However, the Audi R8 refused to flip despite repeated crashes, and due to the toughness of the frame, the roof would not split the way the director wanted it to. As a result, the whole final fight sequence was rewritten.
Oh my god. That is lit. That is lit. Bro, I love Audi R8s, although they're discontinued in 23. That's awesome. That's a really cool fact. Damn. I mean, they're super low to the ground. Yeah, they're like bulldogs of a car.
Yeah.
Not surprised.
With a low center of gravity, it'd be pretty hard to flip something like that.
Yeah, and they're super wide too, so.
The composer, Raman Djawadi, was advised by Jon Favreau to keep the core of the music on electric guitar, which he felt suited Iron Man best. Djawadi composed all of the music on electric guitar before then arranging it for orchestra to perform.
Wait. So he composed it on the electric guitar?
Yeah.
And then he transposed it to an orchestra piece?
Yes.
Wow. That's cool.
In one of the scenes, Obadiah tells Tony that the arc reactor is his, quote, ninth symphony. In classical music, there is a superstition that after a composer writes their ninth symphony, they would die. He was implying that the arc reactor would be the last thing that Tony created before he was killed.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a really cool fact. Okay. I remember him saying that. I was like, huh, what does that mean? I guess it's like, I don't know, millionaire talk.
Yeah. You know, it's really cool. It's classical music talk is what that is.
Interesting.
It obviously is just a superstition and there's not like a curse or anything, but several famous composers, including Beethoven, died after writing their ninth symphony.
Right. Just stop at eight. Easy.
I mean, you could, but then what do you do with the rest of your life?
Right, like just regular music, you know, not symphonies. just start over.
All right, I do. You'll be excited to hear. I have two trash facts for us.
Oh, let's go. Iron Man is actually a man.
Our first trash fact is, when Tony visits Rhodey at the military base, he mentions pilots without planes. This foreshadows Falcon's flight suit. For those of you who don't know, Falcon is a character that shows up several movies from now. But this definitely, him saying that in this movie had absolutely nothing to do with Falcon. He was referring to himself because obviously he can fly, but he doesn't have a plane. So that's what pilots without planes meant. I don't know why anyone would think that that's a reference to Falcon, as if anyone on the set of this movie was ever thinking about Falcon while they were making it.
Right. Because that just confused me. I don't know what the hell that meant. Okay.
Second trash fact is Tony jokes that Rhodey woke up to a man named Ivan during spring break. And the antagonist of Iron Man 2 is also named Ivan.
Bro. What?
It must be the same guy.
It must be the same dude. That was a cringe. That was a cringe, Lord.
There are some
that is probably really proud of himself.
Sometimes people just want to point out something that has absolutely no impact on anything whatsoever.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, that was a GG's on that, dude.
Yeah, it was. All right. So if our audience has any thoughts about Iron Man, please share it.
Yeah.
You can send an email to casualfanaticpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter at cashfanpod. If you have anything else to say, if you want to give us some feedback, if you think that I actually won the game earlier and Luca did not deserve that point, you can also let us know. Or wow. if you have any other movies that you would like to suggest, please share it. Also, if you would, you know, rate, review, and subscribe. First of all, it helps us get our podcast in front of other people, and also helps to make sure that you don't miss any of our new episodes. And
true.
Of course, word of mouth is also important. So
let your peeps know.
This has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.